Show, Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks, and joining us to talk about the Nurturing Center, we have Jennifer Sevier.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Good to have you with us this morning.
Happy to be here, as always.
So let's put on your school board hat. Do we have it all squared away with our new superintendent?
Yes, everything is squared away with the new superintendent.
And he's running the show now.
He's running the show early.
I thought it was interesting that Randy says, you know what? He can run this show. Yeah. He doesn't need me anymore. I want to go retire again.
Yeah. That's good. And so it worked out really well, actually. So then we just paid out the rest of the contract of Randy's contract to Matt, and he'll just take over for these 3 months until his contract starts in July.
Well, that's good because he needs a running start. You've got some challenges ahead.
We have a few things going on.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, and you're part of the elementary district, that tech levy, that's pretty important that that gets passed because that's going to sunset out if it doesn't.
Yep, it's huge. We really would appreciate a yes vote on the tech levy for that. It does sunset, so it doesn't change anything on your taxes. Mm-hmm. It is going to stay the same.
Well, that's a good reason to go with it.
Right.
Now,
yeah,
what does the tech levy at the elementary schools support?
So it supports all kinds of things. You know, it supports the technology, like the actual computers in kids' hands or laptops or whatever, iPads, things like that. But it also, it has all the behind the scenes stuff, right? Like all of our security is paid through that tech levy account. All of our just like door locks and phone systems and
identification when people come in.
Exactly. Yeah. Like PowerSchool, things like that. All of those come out of the tech levy fund. And so it's not just because there's a lot of people that don't really think that kids, especially elementary school age kids, should have computers in their hands all the time. And they don't have them in their hands all the time. But it pays for much, much more than just the actual devices.
I wondered about that because at the high school level, they have the what used to be the chalkboard that is electronic now.
Oh, right, the smart board?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all of that comes in and all of those things. And it pays for, like, the programs that kids use. You know, they use a lot of math programs on the computer, so all of that comes through there.
All right.
Well, those aren't free.
Those aren't free. No, none of that is free.
Well,
and it's
like
amazing how these companies just keep raising the price of these things.
Yeah, they do. But that's important. Now, the high school levy, this one is critical, too, this time around.
Yep. We are in a deficit in both sides, elementary and high school. And so instead of making it really complicated, we tried to just make it super easy. And we're like, a dollar for your high school, right? Just a dollar based on $300,000 value of your house. So it would just add a dollar a month.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
That's easy, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't have to figure out like the dollars and cents of mills and things like that. It's just a dollar.
I would imagine that the board would love to see something different from the state level as far as funding schools.
We would love to see something different from the state level. And we'll talk even more about what we'd like to see from the state level when we talk Nurturing Center stuff. But yeah, the money that is the funding sources for schools are just so confusing. And even as board members, like, we talk about it all the time and we're still confused. But we've got lots of information where we're comparing ourselves to the other AA districts across the state. And just like the amount of money that we spend per student, we are so much lower than the other schools in the state per student. But we are funded so much less than all those schools too. And part of that is because all of these other schools are really successful in running their levies and getting them passed. And so we just don't have that funding stream. So on our website, you can look at the KPS website, you can look at some of that data that shows kind of where we are funding wise and what it would look like if we were 100% funded when we're not even near that.
Right. So let's turn to the nurturing center.
Yes.
Yeah. Early literacy.
So we are kind of, we're working with the schools because they have their early, so House Bill 352 passed at the legislative level, and that said that pre-K, as we know it in the school system, is going away, but we can offer this early literacy program. And the early literacy program is based only on this assessment of literacy for four-year-olds. So the children have to be four by September 10th to enter the program, which means that they have to, they will be screening kids that are younger than four to get into the program, because everybody needs to be screened by June 1st. So there's a lot of talk in the early childhood world with child care providers and stuff about all their four-year-olds going into the schools, because when you're a child care provider, you have to follow the ratios, and you can have a very low number of infants per teacher. It's 4 to 1. But then when you get to like four-year-olds, you can have like 14 to 1, I think. So you make more money the older that the kids are, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously. And so child care providers are really worried about this ELA stuff. The schools are a little bit worried about it, because if they get too many kids, like, what are they going to do? Where are they going to put them all? Because they have to accept them. They have to enroll in the district and go into the early literacy program. So it's kind of messy, and it's a lot that's happening right now. And not everybody agrees with it, because you're assessing three-year-olds, and that's hard. And then you've got younger kids going into the schools.
It's interesting when you were talking about that. My birthday is in February. Mm. So what happened was you had to be five in order to start first grade. You had to be six before I think the first of the year.
September 10th.
Yeah,
usually.
Something like that. All right. So I didn't make it. So I didn't get to start school until I was six.
Yeah.
So I was 6 years old. In fact, I was going on seven when I hit the first grade.
Yeah.
And we didn't have kindergarten back there in the schools. There was some private kindergartens around, but I was, you know, by today's standards, I would have been behind the power curve before I ever got there.
Yeah, except you are like so above the curve in your ability to learn at that point, because you're more mature and you're able to.
Oh, I soaked it up like a sponge. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was so ready to go to school by the time I was 6 and a half years old.
And I got a kick out of you saying three-year-old assessments. Hey, can I have your attention, please?
Yeah.
You know,
right?
What does that amount to?
You know? I know. Yeah. And so I haven't seen the assessment. There's three assessment dates for the school district. Yeah. They'll all be at Rankin in May, but kids have to be assessed before June 1st to go into that program.
What's part of the assessment on that?
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's going to be things like, what does a three-year-old know about literacy? Rhyming, letter recognition, some of those things.
Yeah. So the kids they have to know that stuff in order to get into the program?
No, they have to not know it.
Oh, not know it.
They have to fail the test.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, now I understand.
To get into the program.
I see.
Because then it's showing a need of early literacy skills for those younger kids. So then they're able to go into the program.
Well, now, you said the pre-K program went away.
Yeah. This replaces the pre-K program.
Oh, I see.
So the pre-K program was a special circumstances. So you could use pretty much anything as a special circumstance. And a lot of schools used socioeconomic reasons for kids needing free pre-K programming.
Okay.
But that goes away. And so this is not income-based at all. It's all literacy-based.
Okay. So how does that affect the nurturing center?
So a lot of things are affecting the nurturing center right now. And just in total transparency, so every 7 years we have to write our contract for our state contracts to do the work that we do with Best Beginnings and with the providers and all of the things. And this year our contract is up, and the state let us know that instead of handing out the six contracts that they normally do, because there's six resource and referral agencies across the state, they're only going to do 1 to 3. Which means there's going to be a little less access to some services.
If they're only doing 1 to 3 out of 6, who decides which ones those are?
Well, Everybody will write for their contract as they've been able to write for it before.
Right.
And then the state will decide who is the most equipped to handle the deliverables.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so for us, being up here in the northwest corner, there's some nervousness on our part about being able to continue. And so, you know, a little community advocacy on our part would be kind of nice.
Now, if there are six and they're only going to do three, does this mean they're cutting back?
So they're not technically cutting back on programs.
Yeah.
They're cutting back on, right, part of the let's get rid of red tape kind of stuff, right?
Oh,
we're
yeah.
cutting back on overhead and we're cutting back on positions.
Okay.
But the work will still happen. It'll just be more difficult. So let's say we don't get the contract and then everybody in our area, which is already a big area, right?
Yeah.
We go up to Lincoln County, so it's already hard to get to those people. Like all the way up in Rexford, let's say.
Yeah.
And then let's say we don't get the contract and it's through Bozeman, then those people can only really access things online.
So there would be online access to certain
yeah.
things?
Yeah.
Okay. If you can keep the 3-year-old's attention, maybe, you know, I don't know.
Right. Well, and it's just going to be more difficult. And then, you know, some of the outreach stuff that we do, like our summer scholarships, we do summer scholarships for our Great Fish Money. So some of that stuff we'll have to kind of figure out how to kind of keep things going.
Dovetail. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got the Blue Ribbon event coming up.
Yeah. So good news, Blue Ribbon, tomorrow, 3 to 7 at the Expo Building at the Fairgrounds. We have like 32 agencies, I think, coming just to talk about all the resources that are available for people and for kids and fun and games and prizes and food. Chick-fil-A will be there, Corn Dog House, Cold Stone.
Wow.
That Robin, sounds... you'll want to be there for that.
Yeah. You get a food ticket when you come in so you can go get whatever you want.
What are the hours on this?
3 to 7.
3 to 7.
You could
might
make
ruin
it,
my ruin my dinner.
Nap.
My well, yeah, it'd be right in the middle of my nap too.
You could go get some ice cream, some dessert before
yeah,
dinner.
Yeah, that'll put me out. That'll put me under. That's for sure.
Boy.
All right.
Well, gosh, thanks for a lot of information here this morning about education and early education. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer
Sevier with the Nurturing Center and a member of the Kalispell School Board.